Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. We have a very feline-themed episode planned for you this week. That's right, I've gone cat shit crazy. Today, I'll be joined by Eitan Gleinert from Firehose Games about the new title, Cat Lateral Damage, which is such a fun game to play. Seriously, go and check it out. Then, our pals from Wicked Anime and 42's Anime Reviews will be coming by as we chat about the new anime series, Erotama. Now, to keep with the theme, all of the songs on our show are going to be cat-related in some way, shape, or form. So, call up your local crazy cat lady and tell her that we have the perfect show in store for her. Let's not waste any time and jump into today's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with the opening track from Puppy's Fever Fever album. This is Stray Cat's Fever.
We'll be right back. 本当は優しい生き物じゃない。
Tsushima Mirai with Cat is Not Really Affable Creature, coming off of 2010's brilliant Giving Blood album. And joining me now is one of the head devs over at Firehose Games, who just released the new title, Cat Lateral Damage, now out on PC, Mac, and Linux. Please welcome back to the program, Mr. Eitan Gleinert.
Thanks for having me here, Evan.
Yeah, anytime. I'm so glad you could join us. And how have you been, man? How has everything been good?
Everything has been as good as a cat with catnip and a bunch of cat food and some toys to play with. I'm trying to say it's been really good.
So it's feline heaven.
I'm on Cat Cloud 9.
Awesome. Now I've been playing Cat Lateral Damage since yesterday. Been really loving it. I even played a demo every time I saw it for the past, 2 years at various conventions and parties.
Yeah, we've been working on it for around 2 years now.
I know, and I gotta say, I'm really loving it. And what I want to know is, has the feedback from these expos, from other developers, from actual people, other gamers and such, did it help at all with the tinkering with what would be the final version of Cat Lateral Damage?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, anytime you show off a game to a group of people, and I'm not just talking Cat Lateral Damage, I'm talking any game. Whenever you show it off, you're going to get feedback. It's going to show you things that you didn't realize, and you're going to want to go and make changes based on that feedback. You're going to see things through someone else's eyes that you couldn't see before yourself, and you'll come up with ideas that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So that's a big part of the reason why we try to go to shows, why we try to show it off to so many people, because they give us ideas that we would have never come up with on our own, because they point out folks that we would have never found on our own. So that's a really important part of game development, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and thanks to that, you've hit another one out of the ballpark. You're 2 for 2 right now, because Go Home Dinosaurs was also one of the best, absolute most fun tower defense games I've ever played.
Dude, thank you so much. I will pay you $5 after this. I appreciate the promotion. Yes, Go Home Dinosaurs was a phenomenal tower defense game that we made a few years back. That's also on Steam, so it's on iPad too, so you can pick that up. But we should talk about cats, not dinosaurs.
Absolutely. So let me ask.
Lateral Damage.
Yep. Where did the concept for Cat Lateral Damage first come to be?
So the main developer on this is a local independent game developer called Chris Chung. And Chris is what you would call a crazy cat dude. Chris always has had cats. He's got way too many cats. He thinks about cats too much. Whenever you joke about someone obsessed with cats, you're joking about Chris. He is that stereotype. And so, right, I know. And so, something in game development that you do occasionally is something called a game jam. I'll give you a little bit of background. When you make a video game, it's not something you crank out in a month or two. Games take a long time to make, many years usually. So I mentioned already that this took us 2 years to make. That's actually a pretty quick game. A lot of times games can take 3 or 4 years even to make. So how do you stay sane during that period? How do you not go crazy? Well, you frequently do, but one tool in your toolbox is to do what's called a game jam, where you can go and spend some time working on a game that's totally unrelated to the big project you're doing. Do it just for fun, something like a little side project. And game jams usually take 2, 3, 4 days. One of the big game jams that's out there is something called 7-Day FPS. FPS standing for first person shooter. You have a week basically to come up with some sort of interesting first person shooter type game. And a first person shooter can be a game like Call of Duty, it can be Portal, basically any game where you're seeing through the eyes of the character you're playing,
right,
and you're generally shooting something. That's usually what you do in a shooter. So Chris was taking part in this, and he wanted to do something different, something a little bit interesting. And like I said, he's a crazy cat dude, so what did he come up with? Well, he decided, what if I made the main character a cat? What if you're a cat? You're running around, you're doing cat stuff. And, well, what is a cat going to have instead of a gun? Well, a cat will have cat paws, obviously. So it'll go around and knock stuff over with its cat's paws. And what will the objective be? Well, Chris had a childhood cat called Nippy, and Nippy made it his business to go and just knock over anything that wasn't bolted down, because that's what Nippy did. And so Chris thought that this would be a fun little idea to make a game where you run around like a cat, you see through the eyes of the cat, you are the cat, and you get to knock stuff over. And he goes, he makes this 1 week game jam, and he releases it, he puts it on the web, and it takes off. It's all over Reddit, it's all over a bunch of other websites, and people start talking about it and joking about it. And that's kind of how the game got started. He started thinking, well, maybe I should make this my full-time job, because at the time he was actually working at a different video game company doing testing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know. He actually quit that job to work on Cat Lateral Damage full-time, and that's when he started working with us.
That's fantastic. So how and when did you guys at Firehose Games first come into the picture?
Oh, very early on. So this was like shortly after that. Chris was basically, we had just announced that we were turning Firehose into what's called a video game accelerator, a tech accelerator, to go broader than video games. A tech accelerator is a group that helps other companies get off the ground and get started and do stuff. You might have heard of tech accelerators like Techstars or Y Combinator. Those are some of the big name ones. And so we wanted to make one that was exclusively for video games. And at the time, Chris was thinking about maybe doing Cat Lateral Damage full-time and kind of quitting. And we needed feedback for how we were setting up the program. So I started asking Chris, because I was friends with the guy, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Would you be interested in this? And then I finally decided, hey, Chris, why don't you just quit your job and do Cat Lateral Damage with us full-time on the accelerator? And he agreed. And that was just, you know, a few months in. That was super early on. All that Chris had at that point was a little demo of the game. And that was, I guess, like a year and a half ago. We've been working together ever since.
Awesome.
We did a Kickstarter together, actually, soon after that. That was a lot of fun.
That's cool. And how successful was that Kickstarter?
Oh, my gosh. It was so successful. We raised 150-something% of what we were shooting for. We had this... The Kickstarter was just a complete riot. Like, people could pay us money, not just to get the game, but to put their own cats in the game.
Wow.
Any fucking idea how obsessive people are about their cats, and they want to get them in the game, and it worked super well. We had to add extra tiers just to accommodate all of the people that wanted to put their cats in the game.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So with the help of Kickstarter, how did that help to expand the game to a much bigger, well, let's say, tiger or panther or jaguar?
Yeah, exactly. We'll start calling it by Mac OS names, right? That's how people will know how big the game was. So the Kickstarter went well enough that we were able to get a few stretch goals in. And the big two stretch goals that we got were bonus levels. So you could go and do extra secret hidden stuff in the game. And the two bonus levels we added in were a supermarket level, where you could run around a supermarket and knock over stuff in the aisles. And the other one was a museum, where you could go and knock over priceless Fabergé eggs or even a giant T-Rex skeleton.
No, I remember in the trailer, that was awesome. Just buying it once and seeing the giant T-Rex just collapsing right on top of you.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part of the game, frankly.
So
I love that.
Would you say that is the one you're most proud of helping to create? That's the level that you're most happy about?
Yeah, you know, if I had to pick one thing in the game, it would definitely be knocking over the T-Rex skeleton. It's just great. It makes you want to do it in real life. hope no one does it and then blames us on it. I do not want to catch that flag.
It'll be on the news. Firehose Games blamed for recent anarchy at the Museum of Science.
Oh, totally. I know, right?
So, how'd you figure into getting into that correct perception of a cat's point of view in this video game? Was it tough to really get it right?
Do you have any idea how many cats we had to interview? And do you have any idea how hard it is to interview a cat? How did we make sure that we got it right? Well,
yes.
We've been around cats a lot, and we look at cats, and I don't know. It's very hard to say, right? Like, a cat might play this game. By the way, that would be very impressive. A cat might play this game and think to the cat's self, boy, this does not match what my day-to-day is normally like. But I think it is. We got a lot of it. You get to play with toys. You get to run around. There are no consequences for any of your actions. That seems like a pretty standard cat thing to me.
Awesome. So here's an important question for those who want that full-blown cat immersion. Does the game support Oculus Rift?
The game does not support Oculus Rift, and the reason for that is nobody fucking owns an Oculus Rift.
Oh.
Do you know anybody that owns an Oculus Rift?
The 22 Apps guys who created a robot roller derby disco dodgeball, owns it.
Yeah, I know, but do you know anyone who... Like, I know that Eric went and made robot roller disco dodgeball compatible with it, but do you know anyone that actually... A human being that owns an Oculus Rift?
No, because they don't... They haven't released it to the public yet.
Exactly. So when they do that, we'll happily move it over. And, like, I don't see any reason to do that beforehand. I think there are a lot of devs that are jumping on that train super prematurely. Like, what's the point of making a product that nobody can buy and then bragging about it? I don't get it. But I guess it gets good press, because, look, you're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, I've used it in the past. I've really enjoyed using it whenever I've gotten the chance.
I've used it, too. Nobody owns one. Who cares? That could be, like... You know what's an equivalent thing? Does this work while you're flying in a jetpack? I mean, I guess maybe that would be awesome to play this game while flying in a jetpack, but the practical matter is that nobody owns a fucking jetpack.
No, they don't.
Right. So we don't support jetpacks and we don't support Oculus Rifts. And when both become mainstream, we'll make that work with both of those.
Okay. I'll hold you to that. I will hold you to that.
That's fair. Yep.
So... Do you see the world of cat lateral damage expanding in any way as time goes by?
Oh, well, definitely the cat lateral damage MMO is on our radar. By the way, this is our announce for that. We just announced it here.
Oh, that would be interesting.
There's a lot more stuff that we want to do with the game, and we're definitely thinking, like, there's other stuff we want to add in, but we're going to kind of see what happens. We're going to see how it performs. We still have a lot of other kind of, there's still a lot of other stuff we need to do. We're bringing it to Ouya also, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start with that, and we'll see what happens after that. But the game, it's a complete fun game. We just managed to finish it yesterday. We're not in a rush to go and worry about what next versions there might be.
Understandable. Just be happy that it's out the door and that people can now play it.
Exactly.
So I've got to ask, because I watched the infomercial that you did. That was great. That was hilarious. But
thank you very much. By the way, those of you listening at home, if you're wondering what infomercial he's talking about, if you go to catlateraldamage.com, you can see the infomercial there. Or you can go to Steam and search for Cat Lateral Damage, and it's up there too.
Awesome. So my question is, I don't know if there's something hidden about it or if it's just one of your run-on gags. What's with the sledgehammer ghost in the infomercial?
Dude, what are you talking about? What sledgehammer ghost?
The one that pops up and goes, "I'm free!" and then disappears.
I'm certain I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, fair enough. Maybe our listeners might know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. Who knows?
Dude, have you been taking those pills again? What have I told you about taking those pills?
You told me not to take it with alcohol.
You're supposed to wait for me to be around to take those pills.
That too.
So what's up with the ghost? I actually think of it more as a genie. So we were shooting the video. That's actually me in the video. I play the role of the boyfriend. And while we were shooting the video, it was like an all-day thing. By the way, aside, let's do a random aside for a second.
Yes.
Do you have any idea how difficult it is to film cats? It is so hard to film a cat doing what you want it to do. And boy, did that take a long time. Anyway, so we were making this video, and the guy who made the video for us, he's brilliant. He's a local comedian called Matt Miller. I think the guy's amazing. I think he's going to be a big deal with videos in the future. He's going to be doing a lot more, is my guess.
Nice.
So Matt had this idea, like, I want to make sure that we can make this thing as crazy as possible. I want to just try something, and we'll just see if it works. And Matt had a friend there, and he was like, just go and take this and just try this thing. And the friend did it, and it was amazing. And Matt was like, all right, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to green screen this and see how I can make it look. And it was kind of like this inside joke that just got out of control, but it was so funny that none of us cared. So it makes no sense. It has nothing to do with the game, and we just think it's awesome.
To be fair, though, I would play a video game called Sledgehammer Ghost. Just throwing that out there.
What about Sledgehammer Genie?
Or Sledgehammer Genie. Ooh.
Yeah,
that's it would be better than Assassin's Creed. I will tell you that. I think it would be a much better game than that.
But like Flappy Bird is better than Assassin's Creed.
Well, at least Unity is Flappy Bird is better than Unity was.
Yeah, exactly. Like So like not Black Flag, of course. Black Flag
was awesome.
Right. But like saying that a game is better than Assassin's Creed lately is kind of like a low bar in my mind.
Very, very low bar. You are right on that assumption. I'm even biting my lip that they're coming out with another one already this fall. I'm like, delay it, please. Learn from last time.
Never delay it because people keep buying it. It doesn't matter what they put out. They could literally release a turd. Like, I'm not talking like a metaphorical turd. I'm talking they could put like actual poop inside of a CD cover that says Assassin's Creed on it, put it in the store. People would know that there's poop inside and they'd still buy it because it says Assassin's Creed. And for that reason, they're going to release the game this year and they will not delay it.
Kind of sounds like what U2 did with Songs About Innocence.
I'm not catching that reference because it's not a video game, but sure, why not?
Okay. So,
narrow understanding of the world. It's really just video games. Anything else, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. So, for our listeners out there, why should our listeners play Cat Lateral Damage?
So, that's a great question. If you ever wanted to be a cat, if you think it would be funny or fun or interesting to run around and be a cat, this is a game for you. If you don't care about being a cat, you could probably skip this one.
I love your honesty, man.
It's a game about being a cat. It's weird. It's not what you'd normally expect. It's kind of, in my mind, it's actually like a relaxing game that you can play. It was like a nice de-stressor. And if you want that sort of experience, then this is the game for you.
Absolutely. And with just being able to just destroy everything around your house with absolutely no repercussions, it feels good because that way you're not actually destroying your real stuff, which costs a lot of money. This is just virtual stuff.
My stuff doesn't cost a lot of money. I could probably trash most of my house and it would be like, I don't know, 10, 12 bucks. But maybe most people aren't me.
Maybe. Eitan, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders Erased. Cat Lateral Damage, now out on PC, Mac, and Linux. And one final question, and I gotta ask this. Are the gears turning for Firehose Games' next project?
Actually, I can even talk about that for a second.
Really? All right.
We already announced it. It's out on Steam right now. You can buy it in early access. It's a game called 20XX. It's a co-op Mega Man roguelike.
Oh.
Yeah.
Would you mind giving a little bit of a premise for this? Because I am, like, intrigued right now about this.
Yeah, I know, right? Mind blown. I don't want to say too much about that because, again, this show is all about cats and cat lateral damage.
Absolutely.
But if you like Mega Man and you want a hard roguelike, you can go buy that game right now. It's on Steam. It's in early access. It's 20XX.
Excellent. Eitan, thank you again for joining
us. Mind blown, dude. How's that for a good answer?
Yes, absolutely, man. Please. And not only check out Cat Lateral Damage, check out 20XX and Early Access. So, Eitan, thank you so much. Best of luck to all of you at Firehose Games. I'm always looking forward to hearing about what you got happening next.
Thanks so much, man. It's super fun being on the show.
Anytime, anytime. Now, folks, when you think of cat-related music, you gotta think of Cuckoo Kangaroo from their EP Viral, Songs About Cats and Stuff. This is Cats!
Bye.
Arakawa with Retry Rendezvous, which serves as the opening theme to the anime we're all about to discuss, Edotama. But before we begin, 42 Believer, name all 12 animals off of the Chinese zodiac.
I don't remember. I'm terrible at these things. Why do you always put me on the spot?
Jonathan!
rat, ox, snake, horse. Nobody can remember past horse. I can't remember them in order. No, nobody Andrew. Even makes it to horse because it sounds funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Alright, so I have rat, pig or boar, dog, let's see, ox or cow or whatever you want to call it, dragon, snake, rabbit. Did I say horse already?
No.
Horse,
bird.
Monkey.
Oh yeah.
Chicken. I think that's all I can remember right now. It kind of helps because there's that Toronto hardcore band Fucked Up, and every year they do an album based on the Chinese zodiac. So they have an album called Year of the Pig, Year of the Rat, Year of the Ox, and this year they're releasing Year of the Rabbit. But nice. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Edotama, which is available to watch now on Crunchyroll and has been licensed by Pony Canyon USA.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Huh. I'm going to buy it. I need my Catgirl animes.
Of course you do. So, Edotama, the premise of the show is the simple and forgetful Nyatan, who is the cat of Chinese astrology, wants to become a member of the Chinese zodiac, trying various foolish ways to get in. She meets Takuro Tendo, a high school student who lives alone in Akihabara, and becomes a freeloader at his house. To become a part of the Zodiac, Nyatan must find a way to collect all 12 talismans from the current members, whether it's by battle or via a cunning scheme. I think that's about the premise, would you say?
Yeah, otherwise there's not really that much of a premise.
They totally don't make it sound as lighthearted and cheerful, though, as the anime actually is.
Yeah,
it
is. Episode has made me laugh.
It's one of the goofiest animes I've ever seen.
I know. Yeah. What I like is, like, the first 15 minutes of the show, it just throws all of those stupid rom-com tropes right on the wall. Nyatan kissing Takeru. Takeru accidentally walking into Nyatan as she's bathing, and then punching him in the face. And she looks so happy. She's like so happy that she's punching him in the face.
No, she's smiling. She's just like, oh, pervert! Ah! Like, just so into it. It's so funny. But she's a great cat girl character because she's a brat. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, she's adorable, but she's just so bratty and so, like, selfish. It's just so funny.
I think she is probably the most realistic portrayal of a cat girl, because if you think about it, cats are dicks, and she tends to act really dickish on the show.
Cats are massive dicks. I can confirm this. They just like to just, you put something near them, and they'll just knock it off, even if it's like a glass or something. They'll just break it. It's like, eh, I don't care. It's what I do. That's what I do.
This is my house. They made the internet.
So, on the show, there are these battles which require these solo things that are only given to Nyatan and the rest of the Zodiac characters. Whenever Takeru or some other human character is, what, thankful for something that they did?
Appreciative. Appreciative shows them kindness.
Yeah.
But it has to be genuine. It has to be genuine kindness.
Yeah. Yes. But here's the thing. Because the reason why it focuses on Nyatan is because she's not in the Zodiac and she's trying to fight her way into the Zodiac. And all the other characters can go into battle whenever they feel like, because they're part of the Zodiac, so they're always getting solo from everybody around them because they know who they are. And right. Nyatan has to get hers through means of actually helping people face-to-face, because nobody knows that there is a cat Zodiac, and so she has to actually do things in order to be appreciated.
But of course, she's lazy and she doesn't really want to do things that are helpful. So she tries other cunning ways to do it.
Yeah. She's a brat.
She is a brat.
She's a brat. That's awesome. Oh, hey, just out of quick curiosity, which characters do you have like a special personal connection to because you were born in their year?
Oh, yeah, God.
What's your zodiac?
Yeah, what is
my zodiac?
You don't know? Andrew and I are the horse.
Yeah, you're the horse.
I am year of the pig.
I am the year of the ox.
Moton makes me laugh, like, every single time, like, because she, like, every single line she has, like, at least one word is in English, and for some reason that makes me laugh, and I don't know why.
I do love it when they just throw out random English out of the blue. It's kind of like there's this episode of Gintama. I sent this to you, where just out of the blue, one of the characters just screams, "Jesus Christ!"
See, and that's the thing, like, I guess it is funny for other animes, but for this one in particular, I don't know, like, Motan just makes me laugh when she says it. I don't know. You know, like, oh, yes! Fantastic! Like, just so funny.
I always find it funny when they just insert random English words anyway, and I agree with you. When she does it, it's especially funny.
Yeah. There's so, something special about Motan saying it. I don't know.
Yeah. So besides your personal actual Zodiac character, who else are your favorite Zodiac characters? Because I do love the character. I love the Boar character, as funny as she is.
I really like Uritan too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I really like Uritan.
I really, really like the fact that Dog and Monkey are like best friends. Like, and they're like always together. For some reason, it's Dog and Monkey, like, always together.
Oh, man. You know what's really funny about that, too, is that, you've had to have noticed that all the characters are named after the onomatopoeia that the animals make.
Yes.
You know, like, Mo, Uri, all that kind of stuff. But Inu-tan is the only one who's actually named Dog.
Yeah, Dog-tan.
Dog-tan.
Yeah.
And they actually address that joke because there's an episode where they actually turn into their animals, and when she starts barking, she's saying, Inu, 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 Inu. Yeah. And then, like, and Yanta is like, dogs don't say Inu.
funnily enough for me, just aside from the Zodiac, I really like Takeru. I think he's super, I don't know, just super, like, down to earth.
He takes everything very well.
Yeah. A lot better than most people would.
Well, and he doesn't understand their breaking of the fourth wall. He's just like, I don't know what you're talking
Although in episode eight, he actually finally admitted it. It's like, wow, it's really hard to throw all these puns around when the entire cast is here.
Yeah. Which is great. What I loved, I know, Sarah, you haven't seen that episode yet, but what you'll find when you watch that episode is they're doing a race, and then the manager makes them a promise that they get a wish granted for them after the race. So you get to find out what all of their wishes are, and so, like, what they would wish for everybody. It's so hilarious. Like, it was so, like, funny. Like,
that's like my dream, because that's like the ultimate tell of what, like, a character's personality and what they really like. That's such, how do I phrase it? It's knowing what someone would wish for tells a lot about them as a person. Yeah. So that's really interesting.
Sarah, I know you haven't seen it yet, but can you guess what Motan wants?
Probably won't guess.
I'm gonna say dirty pictures of Nyatan.
Very close.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a very good guess.
It's just my psychic ability.
You'll find out though when you watch it.
I mean, I'll probably end up watching it after this. It's just, this is the only episode I haven't seen. So
yeah,
right.
Because you were close, but you're still wrong. So
yeah.
Well, so hey, It's okay being wrong.
Now, I don't know about you when watching Edotama, especially with the character of Nyatan. Well, specifically for Nyatan, when it comes to her personality, her dickish personality. There are two other characters that come to mind when I see her in action. The first one that I think of is Excel from Excel Saga, because of how off the wall that she can be.
Uh-huh.
And the second one, I don't know if any of you have ever watched the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Of course.
Charlie. She is the female equivalent of Charlie on this anime.
On the wild card!
Stupid, high energy, zero motivation to get things done right, but we'll give it her all to pull off an incredibly stupid scheme. That's Charlie Day in a nutshell.
That's pretty close, yeah. I can see that for sure.
Yeah, I suppose she would be Charlie Day.
Or if there's an episode of Philadelphia where Charlie Day meets his female doppelganger and it's Nyantan. Although that probably won't ever happen. That will never happen.
I think you got a good fanfic in the making there.
Someone write it, not me.
I'm too busy to write it. Someone else do it.
And then we'll read it on Friday Night Fanfiction. Shout out to the Friday Night Fanfiction guys, because they read disgusting stories.
I think the thing I appreciate most about Edotama with all the characters is that, it's basically a harem, but none of them are really, like, into him.
Right.
I'm not saying that they're not into him. I'm just saying that it's not like that's not the whole show.
Right, right. But like one of them though is like really into him.
The ram.
Yes, the sheep, the ram. So.
But I didn't say none of them. I said
right.
Not all of them.
Can I say
that's really awesome?
And I gotta say too, I like how they just automatically have everybody live under his roof in the first episode. I was like, all right, this is already... The people are going to assume it's going to be harem, so fuck it. Let's just have everybody live in the house 15 minutes into the first episode.
Yeah. Well, actually... They didn't show up until the second episode.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because I could have sworn that everybody crashed through, like, the wall when... Like...
In the first episode, it's only Nyatan and Uritan.
Yeah.
And the rest are walking the streets asking people to name all the Chinese zodiacs in order.
And then half of them get depressed because they don't remember after Snake, I think, and Uma. I guess... I don't get the joke, I guess, because I'm not Japanese or I don't understand Japanese.
I think it's got to do with enunciation.
Yeah, well, because they don't want to... They don't remember after Snake, but it's also they also say that, like, you know, Umatan is always like, my name is so weird and people don't want to say it, but I don't understand why it's a weird name. So.
Yeah, maybe we have to do a little bit more research on that.
Yeah.
I do have to say, too, I find it funny with the rooster character or the chicken character. Every time she takes three steps, she forgets everything.
Yeah, it's... fantastic.
And it is funny that they refer to her as a rooster, especially because she's female.
Yeah. Ooh. Which makes me think, is she really... Oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't go down that path.
She's pretty female.
She could be trans. She could be a trans female. Who knows?
That is possible.
Still now, counts.
It still counts. One of the other gags I liked, and it was in the episode where Takeru gets sick, and every time he sneezes, all the characters start changing their costumes. So Takeru sneezes the first time, everybody's in swimwear, and Yatan is like, oh, it's the beach episode now! Takeru sneezes again. Oh, it's the hot springs episode! Uh-oh, what's gonna happen the third time they sneeze? You know what's gonna happen! Come on, viewers! Get ready, here it comes! And hey, no magical light or fog or anything like that. And then he sneezes, and of course there is... the magical light and fog, and she's like, oh, I guess they're gonna have to buy the DVDs and Blu-rays to see the uncut version. And which character was it that walks up to him?
It's Uritan, who says, nah, it's drawn on the cells.
That was such a brilliant scene. Like, that entire scene was just gorgeous. I loved every second of it.
Now, speaking of gorgeous, let's talk about the actual CGI battles, because... this is probably some of the best anime-based CGI I've seen in Japan.
The best I've seen.
No, yeah, it's the
yeah,
best.
It is definitely the best. I actually made a comment on Twitter earlier going, wow, I know this is sacrilegious to say, but the CGI in Edotama is actually really good.
No, it's actually really not, which is the funny thing. They actually are doing a good job, whereas other studios who do CGI do a very bad job. It's clear. It's night and day. Very bad. Very good. Like, Edotama is actually very, very, very well done in the CGI.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. I mean, it technically is easier to do in animation.
Yeah, and it's such a random show. I mean, it still has its flaws, but coming from me, but it's just really interesting to see, like, a show like Edotama is the one that has incredibly good CGI.
It's true, because nobody was flipping their lid over the fact that Edotama was coming out this season or anything like that. You know, it's not... Yeah. It's not
well,
like
it's because it's it's because it's an original show. I mean, it has the manga, but the manga was based all around the release of this anime.
Right.
So it's an original property, so it's not like there was any fan base to begin with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But I mean, like, same with Attack on Titan, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I guess regardless,
like, a show like Edotama, you don't see it going too far outside of the regular DVD release. Like, it's not going to have a fan following. It's going to have a cult fan following, or even just its own small group of fans to begin with. And yet, this is the show where they're like, no, we're going to try on our CGI. You know? Like, we're actually going to try hard.
And they actually succeed.
Yeah, and it looks so good.
The action scenes, like, the fights are awesome, you know? I mean, they're actually really impressive, and whenever Nyatan pulls off a new move, it's like, wow, this looks really cool.
Yeah, and, like, the facial expressions are really expressive.
Yeah, that's true, too. The facial animation is what really impresses me, because the faces that they make are, like, really adorable, you know?
And, exactly.
And, like, the little hints of their animal characters when, like, Nyatan runs away, she runs on all fours. She doesn't do that in the 2D animation. She only does it in the CG, you know, which really impressive stuff. Just really good, subtle.
Which is actually really funny about that, because Inu Tan always runs on all fours.
Does she?
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, but, like, more so than Nyatan, where Inu Tan is, like, always running around on fours.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what has to be your favorite battle so far?
Okay. So far, I liked against the tiger.
Oh, really? That is my favorite.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to say.
Really?
Too.
No, my favorite was Nyatan and Motan.
Yeah, Motan's is pretty good too. But then again, the first time that she fights the rat.
Oh, the rat.
No.
Oh, Chitan?
Yeah, when she fights against Chitan and she uses her cat cannon and the cat cannon, like, misses her and it smashes through the three buildings. Like, I looked at that and I was like, whoa, that's super cool, you know, and then the buildings come crashing down.
Which, can we actually talk about Chitan for a sec?
Yeah.
I think her design is absolutely hilarious, where, you know, she has, like, the incredible, like, she has that evil woman look, you know, the woman look.
She's, like, super evil.
Yeah, super evil, very mean, kills people, and is eradicating things, but then she has these giant mouse ears, like, that totally are just sitting there on her design.
And it ruins everything.
No, see, but it doesn't ruin the design at all, but it, like, changes the aesthetic, like, tenfold.
Yeah, you can't, well, I'm just saying that, like, yeah, she's supposed to be this evil character, but you totally can't take her seriously with those mouse ears on top of her head.
Right, it's kind of like a reminder that this is a comedy not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Now, my favorite, one of my favorite parts so far in the battles is in the battle with the tiger, and it's... Tiger says something to Nyatan, and it deals with her having to go back to where she came from. And Nyatan is like, no, but I've made so many great memories so far. And it just keeps playing the same clips over and over again until it's like, oh, shit, I haven't made any memories at all!
Yes. Moments like that, I think that there are times... And I don't think it's perfect the whole time, because there are times when it falls flat, but the humor in Edotama is just really funny, and I think it's funny because it can appeal to a lot of different people. You don't have to have, like, I think, depending on your sense of humor, some things will be funny to you, but I think this can appeal to a lot of different senses of humor.
Mm. Yeah.
Like one of my favorite, like, expressions I've seen in a show is when you find out, spoiler alert, that Eritan never died.
Well, you know... It actually doesn't spoil that, because...
It hints at it in the same episode.
Yeah, like, because they're talking about resurrection, but they don't, like, explain it. And so then she dies at the end of episode 3, and I was like, whoa, that was a really dark turn. And then episode 4 comes up, and you're just like, hey, I'm Eritan. And he's like... And Takeru's like, what the hell?
but that's... but that's the funny difference is Andrew was disturbed by it because it happened, but I caught the subtle hint when I watched episode 3, and I knew. I was like, oh, she died, and like, and everybody's freaking out, but I was like, it's not a big deal. They were talking about resurrection earlier, you know? And so, like, some people will catch it, and some people won't. If you listen to this podcast, you're going to catch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, obviously, if you listen to the podcast, you're going to catch it.
And, my short little status update on Facebook for this anime, which is like my 10-second review of it for Wicked Anime, is I essentially called the show a destructive force of cuteness. So like
it is.
So literally, like, and I don't mean like destructive as in a way as oh they fight in this anime. I just mean like it's so cute that it might destroy your universe. Like like every episode they come just bulldozing through and just like look how cute this show is. Ah, you know.
Take that, Hello Kitty.
That's pretty accurate.
So, because that's what's been getting me with it. And, like, because, you know, it's not the funniest show. It is a funny show. It's a very funny show. It's not the funniest show I've ever seen. I do like my cat girls, so that is why I watch it in the first place. But every episode is like brings on the cuteness, so it's just like, I gotta watch it again. You know?
It's kind of like, it's one of those shows that you're not entirely certain that you're really gonna like until you really watch the first episode. I mean, if you just look at pictures, it's like, oh, this looks too cute for me. Why would I watch it? But then you actually sit down and view it, and it's just joke after joke after joke after joke. Most of them succeeding. None of them succeed, mind you, but for the most part, it is highly entertaining.
Yeah. Just as a personal note, I was prepared to watch it all the way through. Just because of Animal Girls.
I know.
One of my favorite moes, so, you know.
See, Evan, you were like, hey, you want to come on the show and do this? And I was like, oh, sure. I checked out the show, and I saw the art, and I'm like, yeah, that's cute. I'll watch it. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I do. And I think the only reason I like it as much as I do is because Takeru has a role in it, but he's not at all the main character, and that just makes me completely happy.
Yeah, it is pretty funny that he's just not... Like, he's a device.
He's a plot device.
He's in it, but he just exists in that universe.
Because there needs to be somebody that the characters need to explain things to, you know, and they could have chosen anybody in the world, but, like, Takeru.
Well, and of course, in anime fashion, somebody has to fall in love in every single anime ever, so somebody has to fall in love with him.
Yeah. And so far, it seems to be the Ram. But here's a question. And he's shown up a couple times. What's with the King character?
I think he's just a joke.
Yeah, the King character is kind of like he's like the lead-in device where he's kind of like a punchline of sorts.
Yeah, because like he's like on every TV commercial. He's every pedestrian on the side of the street that they talk to. You know, like
it's just, so that they don't have to keep making character designs, so that the production pipeline is shorter. That's it's an industry trick.
Yeah, so
they turned an industry trick into a joke.
Yeah,
you've been fooled, everybody.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of jokes referencing industry, the anime industry in Edotama, like the whole recap episode.
Yeah. Episode 7 with the recap episode. Oh, which reminds me, that was actually one of my most favorite jokes is when Yatan turned to stone.
Oh, me too. Me too. That was so funny. Because
she just stops.
Yeah, she just stops. Like, she's like, do that, and then like everything just dead stops.
Goes silent.
Yeah, no, when she turned to stone, that made me laugh the hardest, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think I was watching it, you were in the room too, and I was like, and I just burst out in laughter. That was pretty good.
I think it was more the setup that really made me laugh harder. It was like, oh, that's not a real snake at all. Chomp.
I think the reason why I'm also enjoying this as much as I am is because the last, like, big anime that I've watched, because I haven't watched a lot of anime recently, I know, shame on me, but I marathoned Hunter x Hunter, which was amazing, and I loved it. And
which is why I'm seeing so much of it on your Tumblr right now.
You all should watch it. You're going to love it. I know you will. But it's the way that Hunter x Hunter is that it's like one of the best shonen I've ever seen, ever. And It was so good, and I wanted something completely different from that. Just because I couldn't, nothing was measuring up to it. And this was, like, perfect. It was, it's cute, and it's adorable and funny, and it's nothing like Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah. Which, speaking of good shonen shows, I know this is really, really going off topic.
Yeah,
but
that's
fine. you just mentioned best shonens you've ever seen. Are you watching Food Wars this season?
No. I haven't watched too many anime.
Food Wars, I believe, is probably going to be one of the next huge fan followings.
Yeah.
Food Wars is absolutely amazing.
Yep, agreed.
Actually, our Pandalicious over at Electric Sisterhood, she's been cooking some of those Food Wars dishes. Not on the show or anything, just for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been seeing her post on Facebook. She cooked especially the first thing from the first episode.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What was it called? It was supposed to be ham.
Oh, yeah, but it was bacon racked potatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, that's the detail of the show. They go into such detail about the food that we're way off topic.
I just wanted to know because she said best shonen ever, and I'm like, hey, best shonen ever, Food Wars is going on this season. That might be the best shonen ever too.
I will watch Food Wars, but I can already tell you right now, it will never, like, for me, it would be a miracle if it could match up to what Hunter x Hunter did, because watching one of the episodes later in the series, it was so heartfelt and the writing was so fucking amazing that I literally sobbed on the kitchen floor for 10 minutes. That's not a lie. I was sobbing because of how beautiful it was. And I was like, fuck you. That was too good.
Wow. I've never heard a response like that ever for a shonen anime.
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter, best. I have yet to see a shonen anime that has matched it. I think it's better than Fullmetal Alchemist.
Wow.
Shots fired.
That is some pretty, I mean, not shots fired to us, but, like, that's some pretty big shots, you know?
I love Fullmetal Alchemist, but I think it's better than Fullmetal Alchemist. I want you to know context of how highly I think of it.
We've done that before where it's just like, I like
this
show.
Man.
I know.
Don't keep it going.
It's better than Gurren Lagann. I like Gurren Lagann, but it's better than Gurren Lagann. We've used it before. Trust me.
Okay, I feel better now.
All right, that's fine. So, final thoughts on Edotama. Because here's the thing. Because, like, I feel like we, the four of us, are the only people in the anime review industry who are actually praising this show. And I don't know why the other people who are watching it can't get into it.
Really? I haven't been paying attention to any other...
For reals, I've been reading, like 2-star reviews, 1-star reviews. I do this from time to time, just out of sheer curiosity. Like, I like a show or I hate a show. And then I go in and see, hey, what do other people think of it? And I'm just surprised that not many other reviewers are taking a liking to it.
I would at least give it a 4-star rating. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
I would give it a 3.
3.5.
Yeah.
I would go with a 4 out of... Are you going out of 5?
Out of 7.
then 4.5 out of 7, I guess. But yeah,
random number 7.
It starts at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, Edotama, our listeners can watch it on Crunchyroll. It's been licensed apparently by Pony Canyon USA, so hopefully it'll be out on DVD and Blu-ray sometime later by the end of this year, because they were pretty fast with releasing Denki Guy.
Really? I forgot they released. Really? That got released already?
Yep, Volume 1's already out, Volume 2 just came out, Volumes 3 and 4 will be out by the end of the year.
Wow. Because I actually rather enjoyed that anime, so I gotta pick that up. I didn't even realize.
Oh yeah, I'll send you a link later. But Andrew Jonathan, 42 Believer, thank you again for joining us here on No Borders, No Race, and please do your shameless plugs as good as you do them.
Okay, so if you guys want to join in on the conversation, maybe you have some things from over at our show. You can go to email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post things like news, video updates, and hey, we even have a live event coming up soon. We're going to be live in Florida on June 27th. So if you have any Orlando listeners or even Florida listeners, come go see us at a comic shop in the Geekeasy. 18 plus only, though, of course. Yeah, Wicked Anime Life.
No bath salts.
No bath... What? No. What? Yeah, no more face eating, please. You can also find us at Tumblr, wickedanime.tumblr.com, where we post things from around the internet, mostly Monster Hunter and Peter Pan. And then we are also on Twitter, where you can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. And, of course, you can go listen to our podcast at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where we also have our podcast on SoundCloud/wickedanime and iTunes. And finally, of course, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we post things sometimes.
All now, of our videos.
You know.
Like 4 or 5 months after they happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm working on the Anime Boston video right now, and that's only been 2 months after it's happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's faster than usual.
You're really on top of this.
Yeah, last year was 4 months, so I'm going to try to get it out before that 4 month mark. So, you know. But hey, yeah. All right, and then that should be it.
That's it. I think that's it.
Come see us in Florida, please.
Yeah.
June 27th.
All right, Sarah.
I am 42 Believer. You can find me on Twitter at 42 Believer, Facebook 42's Anime Reviews, Tumblr also 42 Believer. I even have a Vine if you're interested in Vine. I just make angry videos about my mom putting her cigarettes all over the house. Yeah. It's disgusting. Ugh, I hate it.
We should get it. Vine.
Do it. It's so much fun.
I tried for like a week and I got bored with it.
Also, since Edotama is on Crunchyroll, if you would like a free 2-week trial for Crunchyroll, you can go to crunchyroll.com/42believer and you get a free 14 days. That's pretty awesome, and it helps support me, so do it. you can also email me. You can also email me at 42believer, at 42believer@gmail.com. I have a Patreon, which is also 42believer, and finally YouTube, 42AnimeReviews, and that's pretty much all my shit. Yay!
I'm surprised none of you went into the Anime Animo. Anime Amamo. Anime Am and No. Whatever you want to whatever you call it.
Which Amino?
Yeah. Anime Amino. Anime Amino. Yes. Anime Amino. Because I did a bit of a poll. And let's see. For Edotama, we got 50% yay, 0% nay, and then 50% meh, which is gorilla for yes. Yeah. So technically, this show got 100%.
My phone is too old at the moment. I need to upgrade my phone before I get Anime Amino because my phone doesn't support it.
We gotta have those guys on one of our shows sometime.
Yeah.
They invited us into Boston.
They did? Yeah they did. Yeah. Sarah, you can come too all the way from Chicago. Oh, Ohio.
Ohio,
yeah.
Chicago would be an upgrade for her.
They're right next door, whatever.
All the way from California.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, thirsty. There's only a couple miles away between them. Whatever.
Sure, a couple miles.
Yeah.
You know.
But my listeners, they can find me on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH. I know 42 Believers, of course, is 42 Believer.
Yep.
And then
that's me.
Mine's WonderTwin0821, but I'm gonna change it to Wicked Anime because Andrew can't get it yet. So
yeah, when I upgrade mine, you'll see. We'll have like a Wicked Anime group and stuff.
That'd be awesome. All right, guys, thank you again for joining us here on No Butters No Race, and can't wait to have you guys again on our show. I can't wait for 4 future collaborations, of course.
Yeah, we'll see about that. It doesn't happen that often.
Oh, well, who knows? Yeah.
I'm free anytime.
Good to know. All right, so here's some Anasuchiya for your eardrums from her Nudie Show album. This is Virgin Cat. I saw night downtown. School, she's drinking. I got better, no sleep. We had to fit in some Stray Cats into this episode from their Built to Speed record. That was their hit song, Rock This Town. Well, that about wraps up this feline-friendly episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. For all other articles under the Gaming Ink Geek realm, go to egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, Structure Network, and the Issues Program. We're going to end this week's episode with something from the Spunks. Coming off of their sadly out of print Born to Be Mild album, this is Here Goes the Black Cat. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.